second?
Yep, go ahead.
You can go down to Sunday school except for the oldest group. The oldest group can stay up here. And the rest of you, have fun.
That's okay. Thanks, Jerry. Oh, Lord bless you all. Good morning, everyone. Good to be in the house of the Lord with you here this morning. And Happy New Year and Merry Christmas and all that. We're glad to be here. I know that we were here about a year ago, and it's always good to bring a report and to let you know what we're doing over at Teen Challenge. And you can never stop the little ones from praising the Lord, can't you? Look at that, eh? Thank you, God. But we're so excited to be here this morning. And you know what? Most of you know what we do, who we are. And but for anybody that's new, just to refresh our memory a little bit about Teen Challenge. Teen Challenge started about 60 years ago by a pastor, Reverend David Wilkerson, in New York City. And he just took it upon himself to go out into the streets of New York and to share the gospel with those that needed help, who were addicted to drugs or alcohol, and he just found a calling to preach to those that needed it, and to let them know the good news that Jesus could set them free from that, and so he found that it was so exciting to see how many people were coming to get saved. But he realized that it's one thing to get saved, but it's another to be discipled and to learn the ways of the Lord. And so he opened a center there in Brooklyn, New York, and the center is still there. And in fact, we're going to be Skyping with them and having prayer sessions with them there in Brooklyn, New York, coming up this month. And his brother, Don Wilkerson, has actually taken over the reins there in Brooklyn. And so we're excited about that. But it was so successful that Teen Challenge centers started popping up all over the country, and last count, well over 1,200 centers in 65 countries, and God's doing a wonderful work. And you're going to hear about the local Teen Challenge center here today. But why don't we get these guys up, because you want to hear from them more than you do from me. And why don't you give them a warm welcome as they come? This is Teen Challenge North. Put your hands together for them. Someone was telling me before the service that, you know, we thought it was a prerequisite to come into Teen Challenge and by having a drug or alcohol problem, but it seems like they got to know how to sing as well, you know. But they don't really have to know how to sing. I don't think none of these guys had a lot of training with singing before they came. And even our leader in the middle here, Matt, had never sang before he came to Teen Challenge, and I think you're going to be blessed by this. So anyway, why don't you introduce yourselves, guys, and then we'll go from there. Go ahead.
Good morning. My name is Tyler Zed. I'm 22 years old from London, Ontario, and I was addicted to Oxycontin. But by God's grace, I'm free from my addiction.
Morning, everyone. My name is Brian. I'm from Niagara on the Lake, Ontario. I'm 21 years of age. I was addicted to heroin, and by the grace of God, he's given me a way to eternal freedom.
Good morning, my name is Matthew. I'm 25 years old. I'm from Woodstock, Ontario. I suffered with a severe addiction to Oxycontin for a very long time. But due to the powers of Jesus Christ that work within me, today I can stand before you a new man with a new heart.
Good morning, everybody. My name is John. I'm 20 years of age. From Newmarket, Ontario. I suffer from a heavy crack cocaine addiction, and God's doing miracles in my life.
Hello, my name is Tyler S. I'm 26 years old from Peterborough, Ontario. I was addicted to heavy drinking and opiates, and I've got the love of Jesus in my heart now and hope of eternal life.
I can only imagine Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes, when I find myself standing in the sun. I can only imagine when all I will do is forever, forever worship you. I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence? To my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Yeah, I can only imagine.
I kind of like this thing because I can hide behind it. You know, I'm just sitting back there enjoying it. But not bad for a bunch of ex-drug addicts singing, eh? Hey, man? Yeah. We, you know, I know a lot of these guys, and I was thinking of Steve as well. Every time we come to the island, we think of Steve. And I guess he sends a lot of emails out. And I guess it's called the Chronicles of... What is it called again, Trevor? Journeys of Steve Sullivan. And so I think he should write a book, you know. But yeah, we're just excited to be here. And you know, a lot of these guys, they come to us drinking and drugging, sticking 20 cc's of all kinds of stuff in their arm, but when they come to Teen Challenge, the only thing we give them is 100 cc's of Jesus, and he sets them free. And that's really what we do and who we are. And I'm gonna, you know what, Tyler, come on up. Tyler has never shared his story before, and to this morning he was just kind of hinting. You going to get your Bible? Okay. You're not going to preach, are you, brother? It's a testimony, my friend. Okay? You never know with these guys. Hand a mic to a guy, you know. But why don't we put our hands together for him? He's going to share his story for you.
Morning again. So I'm Tyler S. I'm 26. I was born in Peterborough, Ontario. Being raised in a godly family, I remember living in rural areas and having seen Jesus in the lives of those around me. And it would be a typical evening for my family to go and visit an elderly couple. We'd just sit around the campfire or the fireplace, wherever we were. And for the initial stages of my life, there was constant love, and I grew with a great respect for Christians. I knew the gospel, and I thought that I was serious and honest enough to be to ask Jesus into my life. So I confessed him as my Lord and Savior at the age of 5. I was a headstrong boy, but I wondered where God wanted me to be led. And At the age of 7, I was diagnosed with not growing pains, as many doctors assumed, but with ALL leukemia. This brought on tremendous changes and profound experiences for both my family and myself. But for me, having the Lord in my life brought me strength. And the 4 years that I had leukemia, I only brought one friend to the clinic with me, and I'm in remission after those 4 years of treatments, and I strongly believe in the power of prayer. God has healed me, and though I had pain, I knew that God was near. Then my parents got separated. It was around the time that I got my health back, and with that came moves and new friendships, personal doubts about who I was, and I started ignoring the importance of committing my life to Jesus. At the age of 15, I tried a cigarette, and it became noticeable that I was in a spiritual battle, and that year, three of my cousins and I went to a Christian youth retreat. Before the weekend ended, they discovered marijuana hidden in my belongings. A year later, I began heavily drinking and using different sorts of pills I was sniffing, and by the age of 17, I'd ran from home a couple times, spent a night or two in holding cells, and began making friends with the wrong crowd. Finding myself with very few options, I was on probation at this point, and I really wanted to get my life back on track. I knew that I had to get back into high school. Learning was something I was passionate about, but fighting and skipping classes was a new way of life that I fully embraced. So getting back into high school meant enrolling in an adult learning center. The approach I took was anything but serious. I was soon expelled for using and selling marijuana in the class, and began getting involved in selling moonshine. When I tried new pills and drank heavily, I noticed that my younger sister was also getting into a bunch of fights. My mom prayed that it would all stop, that the drugs would not enter her home. And she often presented me with pamphlets from ministries like Teen Challenge and Freedom Village. But even though her encouragement was really helpful and her suggestions to me were very plain, I didn't think that I had an addiction problem. When I turned 18, I knew that I was going to jail. It was inevitable in my mind. And in the spring that year, I was arrested for something I didn't do. I didn't intend on changing my attitude after I served 4 months, but being sporadic and unorthodox in my decisions, I resolved to move in with my father when I was released. My drinking and drug use stopped totally. I started going to church a lot more. I began enjoying Christian fellowship. But not quite a year after I had moved in with my father, I had my high school almost finished, but I still wanted to do things my way. As a result, I lost more jobs and relapsed. Old friends came around more, and the old lifestyle crept back in. My worship and prayer life were in disarray, and I backslid. All that it took was to allow one drink of alcohol to once again accept the life of lies and sport. I graduated high school when I was 21 and worked toward an electrician apprenticeship. I found myself enjoying the rewards of work a lot more than the work itself. And so many distractions clouded my decisions. I left my job, lost my vehicle, and went to living on the streets. My desire to escape and run from the Lord would only come to a halt after I wound up in jail 3 more times. Getting to this point, I hurt many people through my impulsive decisions, and my story seemed really far-fetched. I left everything, my wallet, my ID, all my belongings. I stole a car, and I drove with the intention of meeting a friend in New Brunswick. I ran out of gas in Montreal, though, and I knew I really had to stop running. So finally, in a Montreal prison, I repented and began to see God's love realistically. I thought I might have been stranded again, but I told my family I was done. I asked God, I told him, I just said, "Lord, I need to have you in my life to get my life straightened out." My younger sister and my mother showed me so much encouragement and support when they picked me up from jail. I started helping out with babysitting for my sister when she worked, and I truly rededicated my life to God. My younger sister and I spoke pretty often with just about serious issues, and one morning she was driving me home from watching her children. She persuaded me to really think about taking a year to get the direction of my life realigned. So I humbled myself and began to set up meetings with people who I had to ask forgiveness from. I confessed to crimes I committed against people who are now supporting me and praying for me. I jumped into Teen Challenge, knowing that the Holy Spirit was leading me. As a famous forerunner of Jesus said, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Now, I didn't want Teen Challenge on the basis of a place to rehabilitate and from drugs and alcohol. And I, at the same time, I didn't see this program as a place where I'd become healthier to go to stay physically disciplined. Yes, I was hesitant about enrolling as a student, but those were plainly excuses, and I wouldn't be taken off course. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, "For we live by believing, not by seeing." And I also really like the Jonah story and how relevant and strongly I can identify with God's mercy. With my new direction in life, I want to leave a lasting legacy, and I'm now setting attainable goals. The idea of seminary is much more appealing than the cemetery, but I was living carnally, and I wouldn't have heard that before. So I've begun having a devoted relationship with Jesus. I was baptized this past summer, and I'm enjoying living in the presence of God and praying in the Spirit. In Romans 8:28, I read, "And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." And I've learned to apply different scriptures into my life. And I'm passionate about doing an internship in Scotland at Teen Challenge. Since being in the program, God has given me back trust with my older sister. My younger sister was baptized last year. And God's just really been teaching us and building us on his supernatural grace. I remember songs and hymns all the time that bring me a lot of encouragement. And my faith is strengthened through storms. I'm so happy now. In Isaiah 30:20-22, I find God's forgiveness alive and the Holy Ghost working through me. It says, "The Lord will make you go through hard times, but he himself will be there to teach you, and you will not have to search for him anymore. If you wander off the road to the right or to the left, you'll hear his voice behind you saying, 'Here's the road, follow it.' You'll take your idols plated with silver and your idols covered with gold, and you will throw them away like filth, shouting, 'Out of my sight.'" That's my testimony. Thank you.
Well, very nice. I like the idea, Tyler, of an internship in Scotland. That would be nice for Tyler, wouldn't it? Did you enjoy that? That's where his heart is, and I'm glad I heard that, Tyler, today. Very, very nice. We've got a couple guys here that have put together a song, and I've heard it once or twice before, and it's just, you probably know the song, but we're going to ask them to come and sing this for you. Matt, if you could, if you guys could get ready there. Tyler, I was hearing your testimony there, in and out of jail, living on the streets, stealing cars. God's got a better way for you, my friend. There's no doubt about it. Do you believe that, folks? Doesn't he? Amen, right? Let's believe for Tyler today. And, we're going to get these guys to share here. Why don't we give these two guys a hand, okay? And they're going to share here. Yeah, go ahead. What a great song. I love it. Can we show that clip now, guys? We've shown this year after year, and guys, it is a beginning of a new year, so we thought we'd bring it again and show you that there's an opportunity for people to help through our sponsorship program. And so we're going to show you this little clip here, if we could. Please pray about that. You guys can sit.
Drug use is on the rise in Canada. With dismal cure rates of 5% or less in most rehab programs, where do our young people go for real help? With a proven cure rate of over 70%, Teen Challenge has been opening our doors to young men struggling with life-controlling drug and alcohol problems for over 30 years.
Before coming to Teen Challenge, I was out of control, having parties, doing drugs.
So I just felt dead inside,
didn't have any confidence in myself, very low self-esteem.
Teen Challenge meets the needs of the whole person, emotional, physical, and spiritual, through our year-long residential program. Aside from a small one-time entrance fee, our services are offered without charge. What's more, Teen Challenge operates without a dime of government funding. Our life-changing work is made possible only through the generosity of friends like you. If you believe in the work of Teen Challenge, please join us today as a monthly sponsor. You'll be giving a young man a safe place to sleep, nutritious meals, and, with God's help, a changed life forever.
When I was 13, I began using drugs, and soon after that, cocaine just took over my life. I was trapped. I had nowhere to go, nowhere to turn. And Teen Challenge was there.
Okay. Don't worry about it then, brother. You guys get the idea. The sponsorship program. There's more. You can read about it in the brochure there. Sorry about the video there. I think we have to clean those videos up or something. Okay. Well, thank you. Sorry about that. I'm gonna. You know, in the book of the Revelation, it says that they overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And so that's part of the reason we get these guys to share their stories with you. Is it good for them to share their story, but it's good for us as Christians. You know, sometimes we've been sitting in a church pew for 20 years, and really it's kind of like, you know, going to church for 20 years doesn't make you a Christian as much. Going to McDonald's for 20 years makes you a hamburger, amen? But it's something that we need to hear. We need to hear testimonies. And so I'm going to ask this young man, another Tyler. We've got three Tylers here, so... this is Tyler. Why don't you put your hands together for him? He's going to come and share his story, too.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. My name is Tyler J. I'm 18 years old from North Bay, Ontario. I suffered from a severe addiction to cocaine, but now with Jesus in my heart, I'm a new man with a new future. I grew up in an average family up until the age of 8. That's when things started to get rough for me, my mom, and my brother. My grandmother passed away, and I was very close to her, same with my brother and my mom. So when she passed away, things got very depressing. She was someone I'd go to for a good laugh, good advice, or just to go hang out with when I felt lonely. So when she passed away, my brother, he started getting into trouble with the law, getting into drugs. My mom, she started drinking. She became an alcoholic. I looked up to my brother, and I always seen him having friends come over, having a good time, always laughing, you know, always being the popular guy. So I was like, oh, he looks like he's having fun. I want to be like him. So I started trying to hang around with him more. Well, this led me to smoking marijuana for my first time when I was 9 years old in grade four, sorry. Well, I continued to smoke marijuana throughout grade 5 and 6, and this led me to being charged my first time in grade 7 for theft. I went to jail, and I was released, and I was put back in my mom's care. Well, my mom was still drinking heavily, and she was still drinking, so she got put into a rehab, and she just couldn't take my behavior anymore. I was just lying. I was stealing from her, and I got put into foster care, And like I said, she was put into rehab. I got put in my aunt's care. My aunt took me in. She thought that maybe, hey, I'm not going to let him go into the child care custody. And so she took me in, and I didn't last too long there. I lasted about a week there, and I started lying to her, stealing from her. So she put me into a foster home in North Bay, Ontario. Well, I only lasted a month there, got kicked out of there, got sent to Sturgeon Falls, got kicked out of there, got sent to Berks Falls, got kicked out of there, and then I was back in jail. I sat in jail for about 6 months, and I had a lot of time to think. My mom, she was still drinking. I wasn't going back home. I was now 16. I was able to live on my own, so that's what I did. I got out of custody, and I went and lived with a girlfriend. I was living there for a little bit, and I wasn't making any money. I didn't have a job. I've been selling marijuana since I was 13, so I had a good connection for drugs, and I started selling methamphetamine to make some more money. Well, this led me doing 14 hits a day. I lost control. I couldn't handle a relationship. The person that took me in from custody, my girlfriend's mother, I had a very awesome relationship with her. I broke that. My girlfriend broke that. They kicked me out. So I went and lived with a friend. I was still using methamphetamine, still selling marijuana. And I ran into an old friend that I knew from jail, so-called friend. And he told me, hey, it looks like you're having a little bit of trouble. I'll give you some cocaine to sell, but you can't use any drugs because I'm scared that you'll use my money. So I stopped methamphetamine and started selling cocaine. I was selling cocaine for about 3 months, and I decided to try for my first line. That didn't go down so well. I used a lot my first night. Then the next day I used, and then I wouldn't go without it. I needed it. I was desperate for it. Well, I was still selling cocaine, and I was living in a trap house. That's a drug-affiliated house. Drugs go in, drugs go out. I was living on a couch, taking my clothes out of a garbage bag, eating for breakfast, lunch, and dinner cereal. I didn't have a very nutritious meal. My friend got evicted eventually. We were partying hard, and the landlord wouldn't take it anymore, so he got kicked out of there, and I was able to get my own place. I had my own place for a little bit. I was selling cocaine still, and I ended up getting robbed. Well, I was very angry. I got robbed from a close friend, I thought, and I decided to go rob the community. I was angry, so I went and robbed a gas station at 3 o'clock in the morning. Well, I robbed this gas station in North Bay, Ontario, and the whole plan was to turn left and go out of town. But for some reason, that car, it turned right, and that's where I got arrested. And I now know that that car turned right because Jesus had his hand on that vehicle, because if I would have turned left, I don't know where I'd be right now. I definitely wouldn't be here talking in front of you. Wouldn't have a new life. Well, I got arrested, got charged with B&E and theft, breaking and entering. I got put in adult jail for my first time. Well, I've been incarcerated over 3.5 years since I was 12, so I had a pretty hefty record. I wasn't getting off so easy. I went into general population, and they told me I had to earn my stripes on range. And they told me I had to punch someone out to do this. So I did that. I got sent to the hole, got put back in general population. I was looking at federal time for what I did, and they knew what happens to young boys in the federal penitentiary, and I knew some people that were in my range, and they didn't want me going there, so they decided to kind of scare the wits out of me, and someone, big guy, put me on the ground by my neck, told me, blood on my blade, or you're going to get raped. He had his hand in his pocket. He pulled it out, and he flashed his hand in front of my face, and he said, this would happen to you in the pen. I prayed for my first time since I was 8. I went to Awana when I was real young. I knew God, and prayer was answered. 2 days later, my mom came into the jail. She said she would never come into there. As soon as I saw her, I broke. She told me about Teen Challenge. She told me it was a rehab, but as soon as she said Christian, I knew God had his hand on this whole situation. I said yes. About a week later, I went to court. My lawyer knew about Teen Challenge. The judge knew about Teen Challenge. The only one wanted me back in custody was the Crown, and that's his job. So meaningless to say, 2 days later, I was on my way to Teen Challenge. I came into the doors broken, confused, not knowing what to do, not knowing who to trust. My mom just told me to trust Jesus, and I haven't heard about Jesus for a long time since then, so I had a lot of respect for my mom, so I did what she said, and it was the best thing for me. The past few months, I've been baptized, same with all my brothers, and I have a great new brotherhood. I have a great new people to lie back on, like Brother Dean. He runs an awesome ministry. I'm actually the cook. I love to cook. I've gotten a passion for that, the creativity through that, and I'm looking either, God's opened a door for me either to go to a culinary school in the States. I was born in Houston, Texas, so I have dual citizenship, so that's a possibility for me, but I'm also looking at a counseling college in North Bay, a mental health and addiction program. I'd love to help other teens that have gone through or are going through the same things that I went through. I could help them. I just have an awesome relationship with my family now. My mom, she's not drinking anymore. She's a Christian. My brother, he's out of trouble. He's looking at college courses. He's doing two jobs. And things are just really going good in my life. A scripture I hold close to me is 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means anyone who belongs to Christ is a new person. The old things have passed away. Behold, the new has come. Thanks for listening.
Good. I'm just going to ask the guys to come on back up. We're going to sing another song for you here in a minute. That's really all we got, except I wanted to mention there is an opportunity for people to help. Did you enjoy the testimonies of those guys? Wasn't that a nice thing? Praise God for that, eh? We're so excited because we've seen, I was looking at the stats of the Teen Challenge Centers, and we used to, some Teen Challenge Centers used to boast a 70% success rate or cure rate throughout the Ministry of Teen Challenge, and they've kind of taken that out now because, with the influx of crack cocaine, it just hasn't been a great stat to base our success on. However, I was looking at our student body over the last 10 years, and I can honestly tell you that the stats say that 75% of the guys that have come through our Teen Challenge Center are walking with the Lord and are clean and drug-free, and that's here in Sault Ste. Marie. So we're very pleased about that, and we just checked that out a little while ago, so praise God for that. Why don't we give the Lord a clap offering for that, because it was a good thing. All right, everybody. But I do want to mention that, most of you know that we aren't government funded, and we need help from people. And every time we come, you guys have been so kind to us and generous, and we're so grateful. There is an offering basket at the back. And I just got a hold of, I don't know if you know that David Wilkerson, the man that started the Ministry of Teen Challenge back there 60 years ago, died in a car crash about a year and a half ago. But I got a hold of these books. This was the last book that he wrote before his accident. And it's entitled The New Covenant Unveiled, God's Plan to Free the Last Church from the Last Days Church from the Power of Sin, David Wilkerson. This is the last book that he wrote, and I've got a bunch of copies there. I'd like to give that to you as a token of our appreciation for any donation that you give today, okay? So they're at the back there. I think we brought a bunch, didn't we, guys? So there should be enough, hopefully. If not, we'll send you one or something. There is a couple other books there if you'd like to take a look as well. But be as generous as you can today. If everybody did something, it could really help our ministry, and it is the start of a new year. We could sure use the help. If you'd like to make out a check, you can make it out to Teen Challenge, okay? And just remember that $150,000 is spelled 10-1500. Whole bunch of zeros, okay, folks? So it's not easy always to talk about money, but, one guy told me one time that you shouldn't be ashamed to ask God's people for God's money to do God's work. And so here we are. Did you enjoy that today? We're going to get these guys to sing one more song for you. And then, Trevor, if you'd come, that would be great. Thank you.
On you, so don't live life in fear. Forgive and forget, but don't forget why you're here. Take your time and pray. These are the words I would say. Last time we spoke, you said you were hurting, and I felt your pain in my heart. And I want to tell you that I keep on praying. Love will find you where you are. I know, cause I've already been there. So please hear these simple truths. Be strong in the Lord and never give up hope. You're gonna do great things, I already know. God's got his hand on you, so don't live life in fear. Forgive and forget, but don't forget why you're here. Take your time and pray. These are the words I would say. From one simple life to another, I will say, come find peace in the Father. Be strong in the Lord and never give up hope. You're gonna do great things, I already know. God's got his hand on you, so don't live life in fear. Forgive and forget, but don't forget why you're here. Take your time and pray. Thank God for each day. His love will find a way. These are the words I would say.
Well, there you go. Go ahead and sit down, guys. Trevor, come. Pray for us, will you? Don't forget to pick up your copy of the book, if you would.
That was great.
I look out at these guys. I think, well, I laugh at them, but in a positive way. But by the grace of God, it could be any one of us. And I don't mean this to be rude, but you're nothing special. You're just like we are. Except for a left-hand turn instead of a right-hand turn, stop sign or not, who knows? Potluck lunch today downstairs. You guys will be fed well. And everybody else, so please stay. Please bow your heads while I close in prayer and thank God for the food downstairs. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you. It seems like such small words to try and encompass so much. Thank you for the opportunity to listen to these young gentlemen as they share what's a very hard and painful part of their lives, but how they also get to share the joy and the future that you've given them. And we thank you for that. We thank you that we have the opportunity now to help support them in the journey that you're laying before them and to sponsor the Center in the Sioux. We're very fortunate to have it and to have these people be able to come down and worship with us. We're also very fortunate to have the food that's been spread on the table downstairs before us, that you've provided for us, that you've given the ladies and the gentlemen the skills to prepare and the means to purchase. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the opportunity to share food with our friends and to worship and serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.